Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn to this passage that we're going to look at for a little time this morning before we sing our closing hymn. Today, obviously, we have been praying for those who are going to be going, whether, as we said, it's across the street in Kilkeel, as it were, or across the world to some other country, whether it's Nicaragua or Uganda, or whether it was Spain, and it's lovely to see Janice back from that trip. And so this morning, just for a little while, I want us to look at this passage and pick out a few principles of an occasion when Jesus, as it were, was doing what we have just been doing. He was sending people out. And of course, when Jesus does it, it's different from when we do it. But we do it this morning in his name. And there's just a number of things I want to draw to your attention. And hopefully, David, you can just press that on there. It doesn't seem to be working for me this morning. First of all, just a word about the origin of mission. Young folk, older folk. Yes, sometimes we can speak about the mission that we are involved in or our mission, but ultimately, mission is God's. It is God's mission. It is the mission of the Lord Jesus that we are part of. It is not our mission, ultimately. It is not your mission and it's not my mission. It is God's mission. In this passage, Luke chapter 10, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two. Very simple principle. The Lord appointed. It was the Lord who sent. It was the Lord who said, I want you to go. And it's a very simple and yet it's a very profound point. Young folk, older folk, never forget this. As you go this summer, whether it's to work with the Scripture Union camp or whether it's to go in some of these other events that we've already mentioned, remember you go in the name of Jesus. You go, yes, because you took a decision, I think I'll be part of this, but ultimately you go because the Lord put that in your heart. And he sends you and he says, go in my name. I know sometimes in the past we've mentioned the Lausanne conference, and just put it up there, David. Not going to read through it all, but notice the part that is underlined. This was 1974, the first great Lausanne Congress of Evangelization. It says, we are deeply stirred by what God is doing. And the second Great Congress was 1989 in Manila, and the third one was just a couple of years ago in South Africa. But it's interesting, folks, and here's a very simple point. This group of great leaders from across the evangelical church recognized this point. We are deeply stirred by what God is doing. And hence the little float, the illustration this morning. It's not about what we do. It's about what God is doing. And it's about being in step with what God is doing. It's, if you like, catching the wave of what God is doing, of what God's Spirit is doing in Nicaragua, in Northern Ireland, in Uganda, or wherever. You see, there's something really wonderful and liberating about that. If you think of mission as just something, oh, I have to do this, oh, I'll do this and that and the other thing, it can become a little bit tedious. And of course, there are those moments of tedium. But catch a vision of being in step with what God is doing. And catching the wave. And so praying, Lord, help me to be in step with what you are doing, where you're at work. And it puts a whole new dimension on Christian mission. So remember, the origin of mission. But let me press on quickly to something about the nature of mission. There's a picture that maybe will come up. I don't know if any of you have read J.I. Packer's book, Laid Back Religion. David, just there we are. I don't know. Some of you may have read that book. Those who are slightly cynical, the world has its cynics. I don't know if you can see that picture. It's a man sitting by the side of the pool, and he's got his Bible there, and he's pretty relaxed looking. And the cynic might think, well, that's what some of these trips are about, but that is cynicism. That is skepticism. And indeed, there may be some people within the Christian community who really do not take the responsibility seriously, and their idea of Christianity is pretty laid back. And what they maybe need is a bit of a kick, you know where, to waken them up and say, actually, this is a serious business. This is serious work. And that's really my point. Because there's far more than we can deal with here this morning. But my point at this point is this, that the nature of mission is that it is a work. Yes, of course, there are moments and times when we have fun. We're not against fun, you'll be glad to know. There are times that we laugh and we have, to quote Obama, who was quoting us, we have good crack and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, there's work to be done. Let me just quickly draw your attention, and I really can't go through these in any detail, and I would ask David just to put them all up for me, because there's a number of points here that I just want you to see. And as they come up, and don't worry, I'm not going to spend a long time on all of these by any means, but notice, it's a teamwork. Some of you about my age will remember the Lone Ranger program. Some of you watched the Lone Ranger. Some people have this idea of mission, that it's a kind of a Lone Ranger thing. They do their own thing. We all come across people who do their own thing. But let's learn the lesson. It's teamwork. It's Jesus sent them out, not individually, and this is significant. He sent them out two by two. They went as a team. They were to pull together, be together, one for the other. And as you know, and the British and Irish Lions just about scraped through yesterday, they pulled together as a team, and they had a great and famous victory over the Aussies. And it's the team that pulls together that, as it were, lifts the cup at the end of the day. And so, young folk, whether you're here in Kilkeel or whether you're in Nicaragua or Uganda or wherever you are, work together, pull together. Let me into a secret. It would be very surprising if at some point when you're away, that somebody on your team, if they will not do something that slightly annoys you. Now, what do you do at that point? Do you allow it to get under your skin and say, that really annoys me. I want to get home. I can't stick this any longer. You know, that's the reality. And sometimes, actually, without being too frivolous about it, sometimes, actually, the devil can use that kind of thing to really begin to get at you, and to pull things apart. Don't allow him to do that. It's a teamwork. Pull together. It's a plentiful work, and whether it's here or in some other part of the world, there is so much work to be done. There is so much to be done. And maybe that's a word for those, and I'm not saying this in a critical way whatsoever, maybe that's a word for those who may not specifically be involved in something this summer, and yet you're a believer. You also can be part of the work of mission. In your home, in your family circle, in the circle of friends where you find yourself being an ambassador for Jesus. Maybe in a very low-key way, but nonetheless. there's a plentiful work to be done. It's a difficult work. Yes, there's the times of great crack and fun, but listen, Jesus said, I'm sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. And in one sense, he's signaling that it's not all plain sailing. Let me read you something. It's from the Bible. Very famous words. Young folk, older folk, take stock of this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Don't forget that, young folk. The devil, whilst we shouldn't become obsessed by him at all, don't forget his schemes. Listen to this. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil at work in the heavenly realms. And before you begin to be too worried, rejoice. Greater is in you than he that is in the world. In Jesus, you are safe and secure in him. But always remember that we have one who seeks to undermine, who seeks to disrupt. It's a spiritual work. And so we need to pray. And as Megan was saying earlier, thank you so much to all the people this morning. Many of you here who have been praying for this work. There's a sense in which you have been praying and you have prayed these people, as it were, to stand here this morning and to go. Continue to pray that God would use them. And it's a privileged work. Notice what Jesus says in verse 9. He says, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come near. Heal the sick and tell them. Heal and tell. There was practical things that were happening. And there were words that were being proclaimed. Heal and tell. Works and words. Practice and proclamation. Young folk, again, whenever you go to Nicaragua, I doubt for a moment that there'll be opportunities that you'll be able, and it may be scary at times. It might be the first time that you'll have this opportunity. And somebody might say to you, and because remember, other cultures are different from our culture. We can be a wee bit reserved and very quiet in our culture. And it's unlikely today, if you walk down the street, that somebody will stop you and say, tell me about your faith. How did you become a Christian? But in Nicaragua, I can very well imagine that somebody will just say to you, well, tell me about your faith. And you'll be, But be ready for that. And then there'll be other opportunities when you can not only speak a word, but you can get alongside people. And you may not literally be healing the sick, but you will be, as it were, healing in another sense, showing that kindness, showing that love, showing something of the Lord Jesus. It is a work. But the third thing that I just want to draw to your attention, and David can press it on there, is the approach of mission. And it's basically that we are servants. We go in the attitude of servanthood. If you've got your Bible open, I just want you to notice what the Lord says to these people. And again, it will come up on the screen. First of all, you're servants of the Lord. Look at verse 4. Verse 3 says this, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the street. Now, sometimes people read that and say, well, what's all that about? Basically, one of the things that Jesus is teaching his disciples here is to depend upon him, okay? They're to depend upon him. They are servants of the Lord, first and foremost. The gathering up of a whole lot of items at this point And the greeting of people along the way at this point would have been time-consuming and would have taken away from what the Lord has specifically asked them to go and to do. Young folk, first and foremost, you are servants of the Lord Jesus. You go in the name of Jesus. Whoever you are, wherever you go in the name of Jesus. Whether you go to Nicaragua, whether you go across the street in Kilkeel, whether you go to CSSM, whether you go to Uganda, you go in the name of Jesus. Remember that. You are an ambassador for Jesus. And you are also going as servants of others. Notice what the Lord goes on to say in verse 5. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest in him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move from house to house. The attitude, one of the things being taught here is the attitude of humbly and peacefully going to other people and receiving from other people what they would give. It is the attitude of going as servants to other people. There's much that we could say here, but let me keep it to this. Remember, we go following the model of Jesus. He, even though he was a great king, he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant, even going to death on a cross. And we're going to sing about that just in a few moments. Young folk, can I say to you, not that I suspect that you would be doing this at all, but never take the attitude, well, we're going to show these people a thing or two. We've got it all together. They don't really know very much, and we know everything. We'll go to show them what to do. That's not a servant attitude. In fact, one of the things that I suspect that some of you will come back saying is this. We thought that we were going to do this and to give this, but actually we have received so much. One of the really exciting things, and I share your excitement with this, one of the really exciting things is this, that you will receive so much more than you imagine. Far more than you imagine. But you'll only receive it with a servant heart. If somebody goes with the attitude, well, I'm going to do this and I'll show these people all about this, that's not a humble heart. But the humble heart will receive much. Because it's the humble heart that God calls us to. So let us learn how to serve. And in our lives, enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer. For it is Christ we are serving. And the last thing I would say is this, and David can put it up. Go in expectation that God will use you. In this passage, and you can see it there in verse 17, at the end, it says that the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And they were very excited about what was happening and about how God was using them. And it's really good to be excited by how the Lord will use you. But it's interesting, and I want you to remember this, young folk, and it's important that I say this. Jesus goes on then to speak a wee bit about the work of the evil one, but he says this in verse 20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Young folk, older folk will be thinking you're getting off easy this morning, I keep referring to the young folk, but I'm referring to you all. Young folk, remember this. The only reason that you are actually standing here at the front this morning, first and foremost, is because your names are written in heaven. That's the only reason that you're able to go, truly. That your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where mission begins. And can I challenge you as I finish this morning? Can I ask you this morning, all of you who are within earshot of this message, can you honestly say with assurance, my name is written in heaven? My name is written in that book of life, the Lamb's book of life, because I have surrendered my life to Jesus. That's where it begins, folks. That's at the foundation and at the heart of any successful venture into mission. Names written in heaven. But here's the exciting thing. If your name is written in heaven, if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life because you've entrusted yourself to Jesus, then you can go with an expectation that God will use you. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, Paul said to young Timothy. And I say to you, God can use you, young folk, in ways that would even amaze all of us. Be encouraged by that. There was a young man, and I'm going to finish with this. There was a young man some years ago, and his name was William. And he felt God was calling him. And sadly, not every Christian encouraged him initially. And some people said, well, you just sit there and we'll do what God is doing and you just be quiet. But he felt called of God. And he was called of God. And he went out into the world. He went to India. And he was used greatly and powerfully of God. And he is known for a number of famous things that he said. And one of them was this. And it has echoed down through the generations. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. His name was William Carey. And even though some people said to young William, William, you just sit there. William knew the call of God on his life. And young folk and older folk, the wonderful thing is this, that if your names are written in heaven and you feel the call of God on your life, then you can also say, by God's grace, I'm going to expect great things from God. And I'm going to attempt great things for God. Do not limit what God can do, young folk. Be in step with the wave of what God is doing. And maybe at the end of the summer, God willing, we will hear of wonderful things that God has done at home and in different parts of the world.